Anna Brown, Citizens Count, citizenscount.org, wonderful, nonpartisan, bipartisan home and location for all the civic engagement, all the information, your local lawmakers, issues, you name it. She's the public policy wonk in a good way. Joining us live, Good Morning Hampshire, the Pulse of an Age. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, Jack, and absolutely, policy wonk is a compliment in my book any day.
Well, you rank among the best. All right, what are you looking at, national or local stuff? What's catching your eye this morning?
Well, we had the passing of State Representative Hoy Muneer over the weekend, and that is very sad for many of his colleagues. He was a long-term legislator, but it also highlights, once again, we're going into the new year with such a narrowly split New Hampshire House between Republicans and Democrats. There are already a couple other special elections that are going to happen over the next few months. And it's a major contrast to me what we see as a result of that in New Hampshire versus what we are seeing in Congress. You talked about, you know, the threat of the government shutdown and how it seems, you know, they're constantly governing from a place of crisis and the inability even for the Republicans who have the narrow majority to get on board on the same page with a plan going forward, it seems. So I keep my eye out on New Hampshire. Are we going to sort of fall into that pattern, or are we going to continue what appeared to happen last year when there was bipartisan compromise between the Democrats and Republicans, got that budget across the line with a large majority, people from both parties jumping on board? And so, you know, this is the thing. I think that if the legislature focuses on housing and childcare, which, of course, there were special committees on that this year, I think everyone in the state agrees we are crisis points with both of those issues. You know, maybe there really could be some bipartisan focus going forward. But on the other hand, there is also the potential, I think, for some of that real gridlock and conflict if they get bogged down perhaps in social issues. So, for example, yesterday there was a committee in the House that was debating several bills related to transgender rights and also gender-related care for youth and what should be legal or illegal and what the process looks like. And ultimately, the committee was completely split right down on party lines, which means these bills are coming out without a recommendation in either direction. And they'll probably also have, you know, spicy debates on the floor and then not go anywhere because you won't be able to get that majority to get a bill moving forward in either direction, most likely. So I'm looking at the House and I'm a little hopeful that they will continue what they've done last year, but I'm also looking at the House with a little bit of trepidation and really hoping that those, you know, national issues don't end up taking over what are some really pressing local problems that we hope to address next year.
Interesting. On the presidential primary front, one story we don't talk about because it's not really a primary story here in our first in the nation presidential primary, but Robert F. Kennedy Jr. now going in the independent lane, actually picking up a lot of early poll support, presumably would come from independents. Joe Manchin, West Virginia U.S. Senator, announcing he's not going to run for Senate again. He was up here, don't forget, a few months back for the No Labels event at St. Anselm College. If that moderate Democrat were ever to run as a third party, and you have Congressman Phillips here from Minnesota running in the Democrat primary here, interesting dynamics there in terms of Joe Biden's reelection.
Very interesting dynamics, because the other thing that I find fascinating about these independent and third party runs, everybody is already talking about, oh, you know, how would this impact Biden? How would this impact Trump? These people are going to need to get on the ballots in these states, and that is incredibly, incredibly difficult. So No Labels started that process years ago, because there's a different rule for every state. You, this many signatures, or are you becoming your own political party, or are you able to just get on sort of undesignated as an independent? So I have not seen that, and granted, I spend most of my time on the state level and not paying attention to the national level because it makes me very sad a lot of the time. But that being said, I have not seen a lot of analysis of how many states Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is actually going to be able to mount a successful challenge on the ballot. And so that could end up having a big role. That being said, of course, we all know that the presidential election many times come down to just a few key swing states. So if he was able to get on the ballot just in those key swing states, well, and then that was enough of a difference, that could certainly move the needle.
I thought of this ironically, Anna Brown. It's sort of a little bit abstract, but I know you would see where I'm going with this. I was thinking, because I've heard from like colleagues of yours and ours, Neil Vec at St. Anselm, that Kennedy could hurt Trump because he can pull independents who are not into Joe Biden. You know, they might think Kennedy's a good alternative. But where it gets interesting, I think, is if you have several people running, because I do remember the impact that Ross Perot had in that Bill Clinton, George Bush senior race. And I know recession helped and Bill Clinton became a two-term president. But Ralph Nader, we've had impact. We've had Pat Buchanan ran as a Republican, not as a. But my point is we've had sort of other people rock the apple cart. And I'm thinking if Kennedy keeps working hard at this, yeah, it could hurt Trump. But if Phillips does well in New Hampshire, the Democrat from Minnesota, you have the Green Party candidate. Is it Stein? Is it Jill Stein? Is it the Green Party? If Manchin ever ran in a third party rail, you're almost in a weird way like the Republican primary. Wouldn't you, in a sense, be helping Trump, or wouldn't it benefit Trump because he has more pieces and he has a solid base? In other words, the Republican primary, Trump scores well because he has a solid base. So the more candidates running, he gets more pizza slices than, you know, Nikki Haley or DeSantis or Chris Christie or Ramaswamy. But if there was only one candidate one-on-one, it's a different formula. Do you see where I'm going?
Absolutely. And that's definitely something that people look at when we have these winner-take-all primaries. You just need a coherent faction in your minority, and then, you know, you take the win. But then here's the thing. So as you were talking about that, you were talking about Ross Perot. I think that this is why the results of the New Hampshire primary are going to be so important to figure out what's going forward, because when you look at that race, George Bush did not win that New Hampshire primary the way people thought he was going to win the primary. And for me, that was the real signal. And I would say something similar could happen with Biden or with Trump when we're looking at the Republican or Democratic primaries. And that's where I would sort of get that first litmus test of a sign of weakness. You know, if it's a really close race for Trump, or if Biden's write-in campaign, you know, barely makes it across the finish line, I think that would be a really good sign that third-party challenge could come in and could be more difficult. I do think we all know the challenge with polls, right, because sometimes they don't capture sometimes the motivation of certain voting blocks to get out and vote. That being said, it does appear that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. would draw some from Trump. And thus far, it's not really clear to me if No Labels, for example, could draw that much from Joe Biden. That, of course, has been the fear of a lot of No Labels opponents. They're saying that they would basically be handing a win to Trump. But once again, I want to see those New Hampshire primary results to give me a view of, okay, how weak are either of those candidates?
Right. Let me switch gears. Scott Brown, former U.S. Senator, I think it was the Seacoast Online, but there was an article recently. He was talking about the Republican field, kind of hinting. He, now Gail Huff Brown, his wife, just ran for the first congressional this last midterm, a Congress race, but he hinted that he would not rule out a run in 2026, either for the U.S. Senate seat, presumably that Senior Senator Jeanne Shaheen is now holding, or that first district. I don't know if you caught that. And then the second question, maybe you can comment on that. The second question I have for you, Anna Brown, Citizens Count, citizenscount.org, is Governor Chris Sununu, clearly not running right now, may or may not jump in big time here into the primary with an endorsement of a Republican candidate, saying he needs to make more money for his family. It's time to go into the private sector. And I really respect that because I don't like politicians sort of staying in office like in Washington to make their million. So anyway, he's going to go make some money where you should make it. But my point is, he's relatively young, like some of these folks. Do you think Chris Sununu, the governor of New Hampshire, would ever run again for, say, federal office or not?
I think he made pretty clear that he finds Congress really distasteful in terms of what he would be doing on the day-to-day. If he was going to run, I do think that it would be for a presidential race. And yeah, he's young enough that I would absolutely keep that door open as a possibility. I mean, one thing you and I haven't talked about in a while, but definitely we talked about as a possibility, is also that in this coming presidential cycle, let's say he, you know, let's just go for it, right? He endorses a Republican candidate, that candidate beats Trump, that candidate goes on to win the general election. He might be open to an appointment in Washington, D.C. So I do see him going that sort of executive branch route, possibly in the future, but I don't see him ever running for the U.S. House or U.S. Senate. I just don't think he has that legislator mindset.